Just to say, for those of you who are new, my name's Rob. I'm one of the leaders here. It's really great to have you. And today is just a standalone message. We're not in the middle of a series, and I've called it The Cross-Centered Life. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Just before we dive in, and just while some of you are still looking it up, I felt prompted to say this. When was the last time... I'm not asking you to tell me out loud, but when was the last time you opened this book? Was it this morning? Was it yesterday? Was it last Sunday in church? The Bible says that this book is like our food, like food for the soul. Okay, it's meant to be like daily bread. That's one of the images the Bible talks about the Bible. And you don't have to come here today having starved yourself for a week, okay? You can come already filled up each day with your soul food. Maybe that's one of the things that for some of you this summer might mark a change in your life, because it's the summer that you actually started reading the Bible for yourself. I was once in a meeting where someone did this. I'm not going to do this with you now. And he said, how many people here have read the whole Bible from beginning to end? And about, it was a group of Christians, and about three people put up their hand. And I remember him saying, he just gave a really impassioned appeal for everyone to read this. And I just want to stir all of you here today. Read it. Don't let next Sunday be the next time that you open these pages. Okay, enough said. Right, let's dive in. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can open this book here today and feed off it. We thank you that it's life, that it's power, that it's truth. And Lord, I pray, would you open all of our eyes and all of our hearts and minds to what you're trying to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got quite a simple message today, and I've called it The Cross-Centered Life. What is at the center of your life? Is it Lego? Is it Star Wars? Is it Pokemon? Is it My Little Pony? What is it? What's at the center of your life? Is it your work? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your relationships? Is it your home? Is it your DIY project? What is at the center of your life? What's of first importance to you? What's up here? Well, today we hear that the cross is of first importance. And that means it should be at the center of our lives. So that's what we're talking about today. Now, Pete Felton, good with woodwork, put this together for me today. Good man, not here. And here's the thing. You and I, we not only need to understand what the cross means and what the message of the cross is, but we need to live in the shadow of it. We need to live down here. We need to live connecting everything that we're going through to this. We must take our stand here at the foot of the cross. You know, a lot of people think, oh, how do I grow as a Christian? And you actually grow as a Christian not by hearing this once and then moving over here and doing loads of other things, but you grow by connecting more and more everything that you're going through to the cross. And I want to help us do that today. Christ died for our sins. Now, some people don't like that word, sin. If you use it today, people go, ooh, it's a bit heavy, it's a bit oppressive. You know, sometimes people use the word sin as a bit of an insult to say, oh, the really terrible people over there. But the Bible uses it in this way that encompasses everyone. And it's a word that describes the wrong inside all of us, not just a few sort of bad people that we want to cut off and brand over there. But it's about the evil that's in all of us. It's about the wrong that's in all of us. And Christ died for sins, the things that we've done wrong, but also the things that we failed to do that we should have done. And the Bible talks about sin in lots of different ways, but one of the images the Bible uses is that sin is like a really heavy weight. And we've used this image before a few times in church. You know, the Bible uses the image of sin. It's like a weight that can pull on our backs. We feel terrible. We feel weighed down. One of the great Christian stories is the story of a guy called Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you kids may have read it. It's got a character in it called Christian, and he starts to realize he's got this weight on his back. There are other people that don't realize they've got it, but he realizes that he's got it. He feels weighed down by sin. But the great news of the Bible that we're just reading about here is that Christ died for our sins. Christ, the Son of God, someone who's never done a bad thing, he died for our sins. And Jesus wasn't suffering for his own sin. That's important to understand. He was suffering for ours. He never did anything wrong, and he was dying the death that we deserve, and he took on himself our sins. Now, a lot of us have heard this before. Yeah, Christ died for our sins. But it's important to remember every day of your life where your sins are. Where are they? Jesus took them on the cross 2,000 years ago. That's where they are. You know, sometimes we can understand this message, feel forgiven, and then somehow just sort of sneak back and sort of start to carry the burden again and feel weighed down by the bad things that we've done. Sometimes it's things that we relive. Sometimes we go over what's in this bag and we think, oh, I did that. It's terrible. Oh, I made that mistake. And we go over them and over them and over them again. Do you know, we keep needing to remember where our sins are, where they've gone. They've been taken away by Jesus and nailed to the cross. Christ died for our sins. It's a big thing to understand. Sin is so serious that someone had to die. It was such a big issue. A lot of people think, oh, it doesn't really matter. Well, the cross tells us straight away that it's so serious. But it also tells us that God loves us all enough to do something about it. It's the crazy thing about the cross. It kind of brings you low and then it lifts you up again. It says it was really serious. It was really bad. Someone did have to die for that. And then it lifts you and says, but someone did die for that, and someone did carry that, and someone has taken that. Your broken promises, your mistakes, nailed here. Now, we need to understand what has happened to our sin. They were placed there. Now, the passage that we've read that says of Jesus that he was buried. Now, the Bible says something really amazing about this, that it says that when Jesus was buried, a bit of you and I was buried too. The Bible talks about us having an old life, a life without God. And it talks us about this old life as something that we can put on and something that we can put off, which makes me think of a coat. So I want you to imagine this. This is my old life. This is my life without Jesus. I didn't do only terrible things, but there was a part of me that didn't love God. There was a part of me that was rejecting him, my old self, who I used to be, living my own way, thinking that I was the king. And the Bible says that not only has Jesus taken our sins on the cross, but that old part of us, that old self, has been crucified with Christ, but not just crucified, buried with him. That it's gone. It's left behind. There's a, if you love and trust Jesus today, there's your old life is in the grave where Jesus died. That's where it's gone. But again, some of us do this thing where we go back and we think, oh, my old life, when I was in charge, when I was the boss, when I could do whatever I liked. Oh, maybe I'm going to put that on. I'm going to live that life again. And that's why the Bible says, keep on putting off your old life. Remember where it is. It doesn't belong on you anymore. It's not who you really are. You've changed. Your old life is buried with Jesus. So he didn't just get rid of your sin. He got rid of a part of you that didn't love God, the part of you that was against God, the old you, your old life. It's gone. Jesus was buried. The passage goes on and it says he was raised on the third day. Now this is the amazing news, that Jesus didn't stay there on the cross. Now in our church, we don't often have crosses up here, but when we do, we don't put an image of Jesus on the cross. And the reason for that is that he didn't stay there. He didn't stay on the cross. He rose from the dead. Now that reminds us that it worked. It reminds us that he was victorious. It reminds us that God accepted everything that Jesus was doing. He raised him from the dead. He proved that it worked. He proved that it was enough. You say, how do I know Jesus loves me? How do I know that I'm forgiven? Because he's risen from the dead. Because the Father raised him from the dead. He conquered. And this is amazing because it means that God is so powerful, he's conquered everything. Everything that we face, nothing we face is bigger than God. Jesus triumphed on the cross. Everything that we're facing in our lives, he's already defeated. So that's the message of the cross. Some of you think, yeah, I've heard that before. Some of you, maybe that's new to you. And there's a lot more that I could say, but that's the message of the cross. But we need to put that message at the center of our lives. And that's what I'm talking about today. And we need to think about how that changes everything. It changes the way we handle people who upset us. Now, children, is anyone here good at breaking things? Yes, you, sir. Come here. Now, what is your name, my man? Joshua. It's a great name. Now, I want you to imagine that this is my favorite toy in the whole world, Joshua. And I'm just, you know, we're like playing together. And I've just opened it. It's very exciting. It's a Marvel Avengers Thor. It's just what I've always wanted. Sam wants it. And I want you to imagine you've come around to my house to play. And you've snatched this off me. And I'm going to let you totally destroy it. Now do your best. Stamp on it. Rip it. I'm hoping it's quite breakable. Go for it. Oh dear. Joshua, you broke my toy. It's all right, it was 79p from Thingy Bobs, but that's ruins the illustration actually. Oh, Joshua, you broke my toy. Now I could be really upset, couldn't I? If this was a real situation. And we can get upset about the things that people do to us, can't we? They break us, they hurt us. They break our toy, they smash our lamp. And then we can think, okay, hang on. I could be annoyed about this. But Jesus was broken for sin on the cross. He was torn apart for my sin. And what I did to him is a lot worse than what you've done to me. And he's forgiven me. So because he's forgiven me, I'm going to forgive you. Thank you, Joshua. You did really well. There you are. You can keep that. Do you see, when you live with the cross at the center of your lives, it should change the way you feel and relate to other people. When you want to get really mad at someone, you want to get really cross at them because they've done something horrible to you and it's awful, And then you remember, but I've done worse to God. Jesus was broken on the cross for my sin. And he's loved me and he's forgiven me so I can forgive them. That's one example of what living with the cross at the center looks like. Here's another one. Living with the cross at the center of your life changes how we handle difficult times and the knocks of life. You know, sometimes stuff happens, doesn't it? There's a bit of a blow. You know, it's a bit of a setback. I lose my job. My wife gets ill. I fail at a test. I don't do very well at school. Someone falls out with me. We can feel beaten down, can't we? At different seasons of our lives. Things start to press on us and wear us down until we feel lower and lower. But again, if we're living with this, if we're living with this at the center of our lives, that can change that. We can think, hang on, Jesus faced something much worse than what I'm facing right now. And he overcame. He was betrayed by his closest friends. He was cruelly mocked. He died the most painful death anyone's ever died. And he did that for me, and he overcame. My Jesus understands. My Jesus knows what it's like being in this. He's been through worse, and he overcame. And with him beside me, and with him within me, I can overcome. I don't need to despair. It's not as dark as it was then, and still the light shone through. So it changes when we live with the cross at the center of our lives. It changes the way we handle the knocks and the blows of life that come to all of us. But it also changes where we get our joy from. Got some crisps here that I'm going to eat now. For this illustration, it's tough. But we can all try and get joy from different things, can't we? These are the crisps of entertainment, as you'll see. And I can think, tasty. I'm going to get my joy from entertainment. I'm going to watch loads of films. I'm going to go on great holidays. And I'm going to just do loads of fun stuff with my life. I'm going to go out for loads of meals. That's my joy. That's where I'm going to get my joy from. But after a while of just eating that, or trying to get your joy from that, it doesn't really satisfy. Do you know, there actually was a woman who lived off Monster Munch and Coca-Cola for 10 years. That's pretty weird, isn't it? She literally ate beef-flavoured Monster Munch and Coca-Cola for 10 years. By the end of it, she looked really spotty, white. She had brittle bones. She wasn't very well lady. And the most exciting day for her was when she got a clump of flavour in the bottom of a packet, because that was the only variety she lived for. That is a true story. I read that. I'm not lying. Now, some people... But that's what it's like trying to live, get your joy from those things. You can't get your joy there. Some people try and get their joy from their achievements. I've met people who say, I'm so proud of what I've done in my life. That's my joy. I've been successful. I'm going to feed off that. I'm going to get my joy, my achievements. And you can get from all of these things a short bit of excitement and relief. Sebastian wants some. Not yet. But it doesn't last. It's got no nutrients in it. I mean, what's this got in it? Not good. It doesn't nourish your soul. It doesn't fill you. Here's another one. Relationships. Oh, I'm going to get my joy from my relationships. They'll satisfy. But again, relationships are good. Sometimes we can have great relationships. They don't last, do they? All of them. And if you become somebody who tries to get your joy from relationships can become a bit needy and can actually become not very good at relationships. It's a bit weird, but if you try and get your joy from relationships, you won't be very good at them and they won't satisfy. If you meet people and think, I want you to give me my joy, you're expecting too much of them. No. When we live with the cross at the centre, that changes where we get our joy from. Where I get our joy here. We get our joy from the fact that Christ died for me. That I have a Father in heaven who loves me so much that he gave everything for me. Are you getting your joy from that? Maybe there's other things that you've been trying to get your joy from. Let me tell you, I don't think they're going to last. I don't think they're going to give you the joy that you think they will. I have serious doubts about your plans. I think you'll find that the joy that will really last, it comes from here. It comes from knowing he loves me. He died for me. He cares for me. I've got a Father who loves me, who sent his Son for me. Is the cross at the centre of your life? Let me recommend it to you. This is where joy is found. This is where hope's found through suffering. This is the only thing that will get you through tough relationships, is living with the cross at the centre. Okay, we're going to take some time to worship together now. So I'm going to invite the band back. And I'm just going to say a prayer. And I wonder, for this prayer, some of you might want to agree with me in the quiet of your hearts and say yes to what I'm saying. So I'm going to say it slowly, and it's the kind of prayer that someone could pray if you've never invited Jesus into your life, if you've never said to Jesus, I want to follow you, if you've never come to the Father and say, yeah, I want to know you, then it's the kind of prayer that you could pray as well. That would be a way of saying, yes, I'd like to know you. So let's just bow our heads for a moment and have a moment of quiet. Father, thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you that he's taken my sins away. Father, forgive me for everything I've done that was wrong. Help me to live for you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.